A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Listen for God's word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you. Jesus spoke in parables, short stories that made people turn their heads or sit up straight or think about their lives and how they were seeing their lives in this world around us. So I'm going to share with us a parable this morning, and I want you to listen for the resurrection in this very short story. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of extremely great value, he went and he sold everything he had and he bought it. The word of the Lord. You want me to read it again? It's nice and short, right? This week I've been thinking about some words by the great theologian and philosopher Mel Brooks. He once said, "Hope for the best, expect the worst. Life is a play that's unrehearsed." Hope for the best, expect the worst. Life is a play that's unrehearsed. It's a kind of a cautionary quip, isn't it? It's not like quoting Aristotle or Abraham Lincoln or Paul Tillich, but there's something there. I heard some of your response, like, "Oh yeah, right. There's some common sense in what he's saying here." It's almost as if Mel Brooks is saying, "I'll try my best. I'll do what I can. I'll expect the best, but if I fail, what did you expect? Life is hard. I tried, but I failed." This morning, I want to go a little further along and pull us a little further into another way of thinking beyond Mel Brooks, beyond how he sees life and plans for life, life with all its richness and color and beauty. There must be more to life than simply expecting the best and preparing for the worst. And on Easter Sunday, this shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone here, because as we say, he is risen indeed, indeed we are declaring that there's something greater than ourselves out there, greater than all our plans, greater than all our aspirations, and that life simply does not boil down to keeping track of our best tries and our worst failures. Mel Brooks, my favorite movie that you created, Young Frankenstein, I like that movie a lot, but I think there's more to life than expecting the best and preparing for the worst. Faith. Faith. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Faith, reclaiming our faith, finding a faith, having a faith in God, having a faith in a God who provides resurrection every day, a God who forgives us and loves us. As one of my members a long time ago in another church used to say to me every Sunday morning, he said, "There are no atheists in foxholes." Faith. What does it mean to have faith? Ultimately, sometime this week, I'd like us to go home and just look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, look at that person, and ask yourself honestly, am I living a life that is full or empty? Am I seeing life as a gift or as a burden? Am I flourishing in this life, or am I feeling like I'm sinking down to despair and cynicism? Faith. What does it mean to have faith? Let us pray. Paul Tillich once said, "Faith is the state of being grasped by an ultimate concern." Gracious God, grasp us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit and awaken us through this parable, so simple and yet so profound. Grasp us by your concern and send us forth out into this world with a sense of confidence and new life and rebirth. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was over at the Gordon Avenue Library book sale. Anyone go to that book sale over there? I guess only the early service goes to the book sale. Oh, okay, there's somebody over there. It's a great treasure here in Charlottesville, right up the street here. And every time I go to a used book sale, I know I'm going to find a gem over in the classics section. That's where all the gems are. I found this one. It's called The Pearl. I was planning the sermon, and I thought, here's something written by John Steinbeck. So I picked it up, and because the price was right, $1, I took it home. That's a gem, right? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this story. This is a book that John Steinbeck, he took this parable very seriously, and then he kind of created a understanding and tale, a legend about the pearl. It's a story, let me give you a setup here a little bit. It's a story about a couple, Kino and Juana, and they live in Mexico, and they live in a grass house, and they're very poor. They have a dirt floor in their house. But the one thing they've got of value is a baby boy. They love their baby boy. And one day they're looking over at Kino and Juana are looking at their baby boy, and they see a scorpion climbing down this rope. And it goes down and it stings their baby boy. And so Kino, the dad, he decides in order to save his child, he has to go diving to find a pearl. A pearl that will pay all the medical bills and maybe save him from this desperation and worry. He has to go diving out in the ocean and find not just any pearl, but the pearl that will save his son's life. All right. So this is what Steinbeck writes about Kino as he goes down searching for that pearl. Now, Kino's people had sung of everything that happened or existed. They had made songs to the fishes, to the sea in anger, and to the sea in calm, and to the light, and to the dark, and to the sun, and to the moon. And so as Kino dove down into the ocean, the beat of one song was pounding in his heart. This song ate the oxygen from his held breath. The melody of this song was the gray-green water and the clouds of fish that flitted by and were gone. It was a little inner song, hardly perceptible, but always there, sweet and secret and clinging, and this was the song of the pearl that might be. How often do we sing that song? When we go to the grocery store and we buy a lottery ticket and we select certain numbers, we are singing the song of the pearl that might be. We sing this song when we go to purchase a new car or find a chiropractor or find a physical therapist. Or find a masseuse. We somehow think we find the song of the pearl that might be. It might be a fulfilling experience, give us meaning and purpose. We sing this song when we go shopping for the right church. We sing it when we go to the polls to elect an official. We sing this song of the pearl that might be when we apply for college or graduate school or a new job. We dive down into life's waters, searching and looking, and all the while, this little inner song is inside us, and it sings, maybe, maybe this time I'll get lucky. Maybe this time fortune will smile on me. Surely, we sing, surely someone will produce a government document that will clarify everything for us. And it will solve all the rancor in American political systems. And as we read this report, all our divisions and mistrust and misgivings will cease and justice will roll down like waters. That is the song of the pearl that might be. It is an endless song. It is a human song. And so it's no surprise that Kino, Steinbeck's protagonist, dives down into the water singing, if only I can find the pearl, my child will be made well and survive. And yet in this story, if you know the story of the pearl, we can talk about it later, but what happens is it has kind of an ironic twist. He goes down into the ocean and he finds this pearl. Kino finds this beautiful, valuable pearl. But the trouble is, everyone else wants it. His neighbors, his friends, they all want this pearl. They try to rob him. They try to kill him. They all want the pearl. And while he's protecting the pearl, a stray bullet kills his baby boy. The thing he thought would save him became a burden. The thing he thought would save him and change his life and everything like that ended his son's life. And so at the very end of the story, we see Kino taking that pearl and throwing it back into the sea. Careful, Steinbeck seems to be saying to all of us, careful about the pearls you pursue, because in the end, like Kino, you just might be throwing it back into the ocean. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of extremely great value, he went and he sold everything he had and he bought it. I remember teaching this parable to a group of second graders one time and their parents. There was probably like 20 second graders and a bunch of parents, moms and dads around there. And I used a big piece of felt. If you've ever gone to Sunday school, we love felt in Sunday school. So big piece of felt with Velcro pearls and Velcro characters and merchants. And I moved it around and I asked all these questions about it. I said, what's your pearl? What does this mean? What do you think of this merchant? And I went on and on, as a lot of preachers do go on and on, by the way. So I kind of kept doing this great story. And finally, one of the mothers was just so exasperated with me. I was wearing her out. She came over and she angrily whispered in my ear, just tell him it's Jesus and let's go home. It was only that easy. Let's see. A merchant goes out seeking fine pearls. He's been a seller and buyer of these pearls for many years. It's been his profession, his vocation, his trade, his life. But you know, selling and buying pearls isn't for everyone. In fact, in the first century, there's a good chance that the common person on the street probably never saw a pearl. Pearls were the things that you sold to the 1%, the people who could afford it. You'd never sell it to someone on the street who had never seen it and didn't have enough money to buy it. So this merchant dealt in the upper tier of society. That's who the people saw him. Somehow, someone who dealt in precious gems to a certain population. It was his identity. It's how he saw himself. It's how he made a living. That fateful day, I don't know if he was looking for the pearl. He wasn't looking for a pearl to save his child's life. He was dealing in all these pearls. He was kind of looking around when he stumbled upon the pearl that awakened something in him. It awakened a sense, a desire that he thought he didn't have, the desire for maybe another identity, a wake-up call. And so he goes away and he sells everything he has. And after he sells everything he has to obtain this pearl, what does he become? Well, he's not a merchant anymore. He can't go back to being a merchant. He has changed his identity, and he is richer by far. What is this pearl? What is it? What is your pearl? Hold it in your hand. Roll it around. See its shimmer. What is this pearl? What is this thing that you seek so much to change your life and give you meaning and purpose? What is it? It's so small, right? I'm amazed that in the Bible, something so small could have such a large impact on someone. A seed, a flicker of light, a prayer, a song, a pearl. What is this pearl? A Faith. Faith. I think it's missing from our lexicon these days. We haven't been using this word very much. I mean, think about this. When was the last time you turned to someone you loved and said, "I have faith in you"? Or conversely, you said, "Thank you for having faith in me." Faith. This seems to be a pearl that we've forgotten about. Faith. Or when was the last time you were going through a tough period in your life? One of those, you were trying to deal with one of those puzzling questions in life, or facing a trial or grief. When did you turn to this pearl and say, "Oh God, help my unbelief"? Faith. Early on the first day of the week, John tells us, it says in the Gospel of John, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and, seeing that the stone was rolled away, looked inside. He said to Simon Peter, "Where have they taken my Lord?" and laid him. A little later on, we see her standing outside the tomb, weeping. She reminds me of that merchant a little bit, going to find a pearl. She reminds me of Kino, diving down to find the pearl that would change everything in her life. And she certainly thought Jesus was all that. And yet here she is outside the tomb. And there she sees two angels dressed in white. And she says the same thing to them that she said to Simon Peter. She says, "Where have they taken my Lord? Where have they laid him?" And I like to think, this is my own spin on this Easter story, that when she turned around and saw Jesus was holding out his hand to her. And in his hand was a pearl. It was a pearl for Mary. It is a pearl for you and me. It is a pearl for this world. It is a pearl of love and hope and forgiveness. And Jesus said to her, "Here, have faith."